Students and youth, rise up, rise up. Students and youth, rise up, rise up. The people of the world, rise up, rise up. The people of the world, rise up, rise up.
Government that feeds off war. If there's money involved, then it's beef for sure. They can afford to make bombs but can't feed the poor. I'm trying to live my life in peace, not war. Though we're living under a government that feeds off war. If there's money involved, it's beef for sure. They can afford to drop bombs but can't feed the poor. I'm trying to live life peaceful, but out on the streets, fools wanna beef you for your money and your weed too. There ain't no fair fighting, man, ignore the code. There's wars across the globe and it's war on road. Behind doors that's closed, you won't believe what's happening. Another brother jacked again by a cat with a strap on it. And when he smoked that, he'll be back again. No matter how we damage them, they need that crack again. That's why I don't care if I lose or win. People are fighting for nothing, they've all lost in the end. The cost has been spent, burnt away in the flames. If no one's winning, what's the point of even playing this game? There's war, rocket change, killing success. Stop thinking individually, trying to be better than the rest. How are we ever to progress in war with each other? There's so much to discover, treating each other like brothers. I'm trying to live my life in peace, not war.
This is
living under a government.
This is Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM, where the next generation of activists joins the Pacifica community to bring you a radio show by youth, about youth and activism. I'm Saki, today's show host, along with Nell, and that what you just heard was from the Peace Not War compilation.
Coming up, we've got a full show for you, from anti-militarism in the classroom to narratives of the impact of the Patriot Act on stage to a campaign for better bathrooms at Bushwick High School. We'll speak with two members of Roots, a new collective using hip-hop culture and organizing for and by youth of color to counter militarism, which impacts their communities. Then, actor Kehan Irani will be with us to discuss the art of resistance on stage, and specifically her one-woman show, We've Come Undone, about the effect of the Patriot Act on Muslim, Arab, and South Asian communities in the United States. Finally, we'll hear from students at Bushwick School for Social Justice about their bathroom justice campaign, demanding respect and decent facilities in a Brooklyn high school. All that and more coming up.
What happened when the bombs come down? Missiles for cash plus a testing ground. See what happened when the bombs come down. Everybody knows this is a fake war. Were you lying to Bush? Were you lying to Blair? Blood for money, blood for oil. Education, the world around them for a paid work. We all get down, this and that. But now kids pulling out splat. Watch that, yo, 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 watch that attack. Be the thought in mind, how we march into war completely blind. Hate packed up and sealed, guns strapped round the waist and ready to kill. Little bad boy in search of thrills, be it politics or piling.
This is Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. We are first joined in the studio by Dora and Asif, two organizers of the Roots Collective, which stands for Revolution Out of Truth and Struggle. Asif is the founder of Roots and works for the War Resisters League's national office in Manhattan. He was active as a student at Hunter College with the Student Liberation Action Movement, also known as SLAM, and he also helps publish AWOL magazine and CD. Thanks for being here with us, Asif. Dora is a New York transplant from California, where she graduated from the University of California, Santa Barbara, with a degree in Black Studies and English. She works with the Roots Program as a Freeman intern, a paid internship, which is open to young people on a semester basis. Dora coordinates the Roots Workshop Committee, which is responsible for plugging young people into presentation and facilitation opportunities at conferences and high schools to discuss counter-recruitment and women and militarism. She also worked on the award-winning documentary Military Myths, co-produced by Roots and Paper Tiger TV. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for being here. Asif, can you expand on what Roots is and how it got started?
Sure. First of all, peace to the audience and everybody who's listening in today. Roots started a few years back as a result of just concentrated militarism and military recruitment in our communities. And need to really respond to that from a young people's perspective, and particularly a young people of color from inner city perspective. Oftentimes we're affected by a whole host of issues, but we're not given a voice or the opportunity to actually access resources so that we can take matters into our own hand and respond to issues in a way that we know how to, based on our experiences with military recruitment and military recruiters. Roots is specific in terms of its focus. We focus on issues of military recruitment and militarism and try to provide an alternative perspective. Our goal isn't necessarily to have the same approach that military recruiters have, which is a salesperson's approach to why you shouldn't join the military. We're not selling the movement to people. We're not selling activism to people. What we are doing is trying to facilitate critical thought and a process by which people could come to their own conclusion about whether or not the military might be the best career choice for themselves.
Why do you think it's important that you not take the same approach in terms of pushing a certain agenda?
Right. Primarily because having grown up in this system and knowing that, the default values, the default perspectives and so on are pretty much handed down to you. We're breastfed with images of, right and wrong from day one, so that by the time the U.S. goes into war with Iraq, Afghanistan, Nicaragua, Colombia, whoever it is, we're already given an opinion handed that down to us, so that it doesn't really allow us to think about, whether or not this is a just war, whether or not this is something that we should be going into. What we want to do is have people be able to think for themselves, and that's something that's highly discouraged within our system. We're not really encouraged to come to our own conclusions about things, and so we feel that anybody who's grown up in the system has that experience, and that's just unfair.
We've been covering the activities of military recruiters in New York City high schools and around the country here on Rise Up Radio. Dora, can you talk a little bit about what those activities have been, especially of late, and sort of what the focus is in the military recruitment campaign in terms of what high schools get the most military recruiters showing up and that kind of thing?
Well, I think that recruiters are probably hitting a lot of different types of schools at this point. Mostly they know that, poorer schools, schools that have larger numbers of people of color, and poor students definitely are impacted. They either have, a ROTC program or a recruitment center that's right next to the school. For instance, my high school had a recruitment center at the end of the block. So along with the ROTC program, they would come visit during lunch and things like that. And it's not that the military hasn't reached any quotas. They've reached their quotas for the past 2 years. But to get more people interested and not to have to even worry about a draft at any point, they're trying to plug into youth culture to market recruitment. And so being that these schools may have a lot of people that are into pop music or hip hop, they're using those tools and those avenues to sell the military. And youth culture includes like video games. So we see a lot of, militarized video games, a lot of violent video games now.
Yeah, when we were speaking earlier, we talked about military targeting young people and specifically young people of color and using youth culture and hip-hop culture. Can you talk a little bit more about some of the tactics and the collaborations between, like, for example, Source magazine and the Army? Can you expand on that?
Yeah. As far as I know, there's just been a collaboration between the Army and the Source. So I don't know exactly what that's going to end up meaning. Mm-hmm. So maybe Asif can.
The Army recently had a pact with Source. It's called Operation Taking It to the Streets. What they're doing is a combat tour. The combat tour would involve, brand name artists such as, potentially Nelly, Ludacris, other artists, and the military, which would be doing a tour from traditionally black college to black college. So it's pretty obvious in terms of who the target is. In the past, the military's used what's called Army Cinema Vans, which uses you know, technology and displays and so on to attract young people into the military. Well, they're still going to continue to do that, except in black colleges and, you know, people, primarily schools that are of people of color and disenfranchised young people. They're now using Hummers, you know, Hummers with bling on, so that, you know, it's more of a point of attraction. At Medgar Evers College, which is the only black college in New York City, in Brooklyn, they already did part of their combat tour. They had a group of well-known comedians, you know, do a show on Halloween night, October 31st. And so, you know, you see a lot more of this collaboration that's happening with the military and, you know, major, you know, media outlets. They paired up with Spike Lee a couple of years back, did a multi-million-dollar contract for them to shoot Navy advertisements, you know, which wow. had pretty major successes in terms of recruiting the target audience. When one of the media executives of the military was asked why Spike Lee, he responded, "Spike has has access to an audience that we otherwise don't have access to."
I didn't know that. I mean, we had spoke about the whole Hummer, and I was just kind of blown as how hip hop is being used and hip hop culture and youth culture is being used by the military. We see it being used in other ways. But so, what exactly do they do? I mean, do they sit there and ask them to talk about joining, or is it a little bit more subliminal than that?
Well, what they do is they set up competitions so that it's pretty fun and adventurous, which, you know, gives the illusion that the military is also fun and adventurous. So, for instance, there'll be a rock climbing competition, or there'll be a race competition, and there's all kinds of awards. The military is very keyed into pop culture, often unlike the movement at times. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, an award might be a jersey. You know, young people love jerseys. So a jersey that has their name on the back of it is something that could be pretty attractive and appealing. They also give out dog tags. You know, dog tags are real popular these days. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, something that's tuned into youth culture. Military has what's called YATS, which is YATS, the Youth Attitude Tracking Study. The Youth Attitude Tracking Study is used for high school age students between the ages of 14 through 16 to track what kind of career choices they make, to get a sense of what would be more alluring for them to join the military instead of maybe other career choices that they might otherwise make. So based on you know, surveys like YATS, they're able to come to the conclusion that hip-hop is where it's at, and that's what we need to focus on if we need to attract more and recruit more young people into the military. They also have America's Army, which has over 2.6 million copies disseminated currently. America's Army is a really popular video game where you get to, you know, shoot, you know, people who are probably Semitic, Arabs, Iraqis, or other, you know, areas that the U.S. is at war with. And you also get to take on different positions. So it's kind of like the 212 job skills that are advertised through America's Army. And America's Army is free on the internet. You could download it. And, you know, it's a pretty fun game as well. So, you know, they're using all kinds of pop culture, you know, vehicles to drive people in. The Army has already met its quota for this year, even with the current assault and attack on Iraq and with the number of casualties that are happening. So it's kind of telling us to how effective they are actually being with their media campaigns.
Yeah, because people aren't scared, even with seeing the death toll numbers increase. They're still having, I guess, people sign up, and that's kind of scary. So since we're talking about hip-hop culture, in your description it says, quote, "Roots organizes with and by way of hip-hop culture as its primary arsenal." Asif, what exactly does that mean?
Well, hip-hop is a cultural form that comes from the streets. It's inherently, just like graffiti art, its origins, etymology, is illegal. You know, it comes from the inner cities, from, you know, particularly the Bronx and the other boroughs as well. And if you look at where it comes from and the response to the level of antagonism that young people were being assaulted with in terms of, like, everything from welfare policies to a lack of education to the heightened militarism, guns being brought into our communities, drugs being brought into our communities, people responded with, you know, with art, with spitting lyrics, with graffiti art, with dance, and so on. And so at its very root, hip-hop is, you know, a form of art that comes out of black and brown poor people. And at its very root, it's also a form of resistance to all of those things that are and have been inherently oppressive to us. So with the way the evolution of hip-hop's happened and with the music industry, anytime, you know, there's something that becomes undeniable, it becomes a market. And so it's an international market that's bringing in multi-billions for a lot of people who have nothing to do with hip-hop, who aren't from the community, who aren't connected to the community, and who just see a possible paycheck for themselves. And so what we're trying to do is redirect that energy that's coming from the streets. It's not that hip-hop from the streets has stopped happening. It's just that there's more of a calculated effort to keep those voices silent. And so we're getting less and less opportunities to make it in to the so-called mainstream or actually get our records out there. So through AWOL Hip Hop Magazine, we offer a voice for people who are putting out that message and that music that's speaking to their realities. If you listen to anybody's first album, whether it's the Wu-Tang Clan, whether it's Jay-Z, whether it's Nas, all of these artists who have gone mainstream and selling multi-millions right now, their first album is very telling in terms of their experiences. And the militarism and, you know, all the war that they're facing on a street level. So that's what we do with AWOL Hip Hop Magazine. And CD AWOL is a term which means absence without leave, which military is one of those jobs you can't quit. And if you try to quit, it's called going AWOL. There are discharges, and we do a GI Rights hotline to offer people an opportunity to maybe get out of the military. But
so, Dora, we just have a few minutes left, but can you talk about some of the, like, day-to-day on-the-ground organizing that's been going on to continue and strengthen the Roots program right now?
Well, we're focusing a lot on, you know, recruitment ourselves, whether folks can be interns or volunteer for the program. We have a lot of young people that are in high schools or in their earlier years of college that have chosen to be a part of it or really interested in participating. So we try to plug those folks in and see where they're most comfortable and use them in those areas so that they can feel rejuvenated and feel like they're also participating positively. And a lot of what we want to do is share information and allow people to feel comfortable with the kind of information they're having to deal with and the way they need to present it. We have three program areas: workshops, resources, and tabling and actions. And so those are all available for people to choose which area they're most comfortable with. They may be an artist, a graphic artist. They may want to create some of the literature and revamp it for young people today. So they may want to be a part of resources versus workshops and doing presentations and doing research for those workshops. I actually wanted to address something really quickly that Saki brought up, which is, you know, maybe some of us understand the number of deaths that are going on overseas, but a lot of people don't. And whether they're not, you know, getting it on the news, on television, or in periodicals, they're not understanding, you know, the huge amounts of people that are wounded or that have died, and even their ages, a lot of like 18, 19, 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the reasons why we don't see the bodies come back or we don't see a lot of the funerals and the caskets come in is because of a curtain policy that Bush has enacted. So it's a loose policy, but his father had done this and it had been lifted with Clinton, but now it's back so that there's no media coverage of the bodies coming back and the caskets coming back. So we're not being impacted even as a nation, you know, whether we're adults or young people, we're not being impacted by this visual of understanding that a lot of our peers are dying.
That's a good, before we wrap it up, I wanted you to speak about the documentary, Military Myths. Can you tell us what the documentary was about and maybe even just touch on some of the myths that the military propagates to young people?
The documentary right now is 28 minutes, and we're going to be working on re-editing that with some new footage. But it pretty much discusses with veterans of the Gulf War, of Vietnam, women and men of color who have participated and have participated and then come about, you know, a different view of the Army and the military and their service. They discuss how they were recruited and why they felt like it was necessary for them to participate in the military and their experience there and what they got out of it. You know, some of the women discuss being assaulted or sexually harassed, sometimes by officers that are above them and dealing with, you know, the legal situations that they have to be in to prosecute people or at least to bring a claim forward. They talk about, you know, people of color and new recruits and the positions that they're allowed to be in and whether or not they have any kind of mobility. A lot of people don't realize that you don't have choices. And so, you know, just for an example, like during a workshop, a young woman actually was considering joining the Navy and she thought she was going to have some kind of tech job. And she was like, no, I don't want to be behind a gun or anything. And what she wasn't understanding, what impacted her was the sexual harassment, but what she really wasn't understanding was that she doesn't have a choice on what kind of job they're going to allow her to do.
Well, we do have to wrap up, but I want to thank you both, Dora and Asif from the Roots Program out of the War Resisters League, for coming in. And is there a way people can get more information, get in contact with y'all?
Yeah, we'd really encourage people to plug into this work. I know oftentimes the way foundation money and stuff is set up, people are oftentimes competing for stuff. We're not out there to compete with anybody or duplicate efforts. Anybody who's interested in doing counter-recruitment work should just get down with us. And, you know, we're open to working with anybody, literally. So we have a website, rootsnet.org, rootsnet.org. Our email is roots, roots, at rootsnet.org. And people could call us 212-228-0450. Anything we put out, our vehicles for change, they're just resources to organize. So please plug in. We have monthly open meetings. So give us a call at the office. Our email might be down, so that might be the best way to get in touch with us.
The
again, 212-228-0450. Peace.
Okay.
And that information will be on our site as well, www.studentvoicesforpeace.org.
So tune into that and stay tuned next for a conversation with artist Kehan Irani about her one-woman show, We've Come Undone, about the impact of the Patriot Act on Muslim, Arab American, and South Asian communities in the United States. You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI.
I'm going to read The Effects of Life. My blood is PLO. My blood flows through the Ramallah roads. My stone bones as the ones that are thrown. My skin, one shade lighter than peach. My home destroyed by the order of Ariel Sharon. Can we do something? I asked and pleaded. Get out of the way, they'll make you bleed. The road home is just too weak. Why can't I speak the same Arabic? I am a Muslim Palestinian. That has never seemed so real to me. Can't you see I've never been home? When will it ever be safe to go home?